And it's a sad thing for somebody to be a soldier of folly. You fight for the wrong thing. Most of the time, a soldier of folly would not even dare even speak for what's right. I'm a soldier. Let's look at what else happened to him. It said when these things happened in verse 12, he was in affliction. He was in great affliction. And he humbled himself. Let me see. It says he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. I don't know what that means. I looked the word is up. I looked at how he humbled and debased himself. I look at the word greatly and it speaks of great effort. But how do you humble yourself greatly when you have been accused of being the one that had Isaiah the prophet killed? You've killed other prophets killed. You've killed a lot of innocent people. How is it that this man humbled himself greatly? Now, I've read the prayer of Manasseh in two or three or four different versions, and nobody seems to want to say that this is truly the prayer that Manasseh made. But he must have made a prayer somewhat similar to what I've read in the prayer of Manasseh. Now, this man, once he was down, he began to look up. And this is where his revival began to take place. Let's look at what happened in 13. It says, and he prayed to him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. You know, I read somewhere that when Manasseh prayed to God and humbled himself, that God made the chains melt on Manasseh. And Manasseh was able to escape and become free. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if the Assyrians let him go. I don't know, but all that I do know is that Manasseh did these things when he was shackled, when he was shut up, by the time he was being shipped out, he turned himself to the Lord. His daddy turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, remember me. Now, you know that Manasseh could not make that kind of prayer. So he had to give God, Lord, give me credit based on what you said through Solomon. That's all that I got now. My track record is nasty. I'm wicked. Now, some of us here, we may think we've gone too far. But based on what God's word says, if we return from our wicked way and seek his face, then he will forgive the sins and heal the land. Now, that is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Yeah. And so what happened is in this thing here, we got to understand that Manasseh is living in that time. He knows about that prayer. He knows about what God has done. But how many of us, well, when I straighten up, I'm going to come to the Lord? There is no coming to the Lord unless there's a repentance. And there is no repentance until you see yourself as you are. And he said he prayed to the Lord. What does that mean? Manasseh made a supplication. And I want you to see something. He made a supplication. When did he make his supplication? He made his supplication when he was suffering. When he was suffering, he repented. He had a change of mind. God had scourged and beat him down, and he had a change of mind. But understand this. This is the limitation of what he can do. The limitation of what he can do is reconsider what he's done. He can have remorse. He can make a supplication to God, but that's where it ends. It's up to God if he's going to receive this man. It's up to God if he's going to restore this man. It's up to God if he's going to reconstruct or regenerate this man. And I'm submitting to you today, if we would do the things that Manasseh did, when it's all down to the place where we are helpless and powerless, and we look to him, and we say, look, this is the way I was all the time and didn't know it. And we make earnest supplication to God. Acknowledge the beat down. Acknowledge the scourging. Acknowledge the whipping. Acknowledge we deserve every bit of what we receive as our punishment. And understand that the condition of remaining and abiding in God's love is that we turn. And that we fall on him. That's the condition of abiding in God's love. And Manasseh did these things, and that was out of his hands. What does the Bible say happened after that? I look over here at verse number 14. Now, I have to look at the last part of 13. It says, and he prayed to him, and he received his entreaty. That's New King James. In the 13th verse of the Old King James, it says, and he prayed to him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication. God heard his supplication. God restored him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was the God. The only way that revival can truly take place is if we do our part and allow God to do his part. We can't make ourselves be received in God's kingdom. We can't make ourselves be restored. But we can set the plate where we be right in the flow of what God says and what God is about. And what God is about is the people humbling themselves to him. I'm the mighty king. You've already bowed to Assyria. Now bow to me. Verse 14. It says, now after this he built the wall without the city of David. And on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering of the fish gate compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put curtains, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. That might not mean that much to you, but unless you understand what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. What did this man do when he was restored? What did this man do when he was received? What did this man do to know that we can see that he was regenerated? The very things that he talked about, he started to blow up for the Lord. He started building up walls of protection to keep out stuff. He started building stuff up on the east gate. He started putting up men of war to help protect the people. Whereas before, he was their biggest enemy. Now, he's their biggest ally other than God. Because now we're going to turn this thing around. 14. I read that. 15. And he took away the strange gods. Look at what he's doing now. He's denouncing and renouncing the former life that he had. He is not, I am not who I used to be. The very thing that I honored that was dishonorable to God, now is dishonorable and distasteful to me. Have we gotten to the place right now in 2007 that the things that are dishonorable and distasteful to God are dishonorable and distasteful to us? Or do we still like it a little bit? Maybe when we see it on TV, maybe when we think about it, we might do this one day. God's not pleased. Look at this, what else he did. He took away the strange gods and the idols of the house of the Lord, and the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. He went back to the house of the Lord. He went back to the place, the temple, and cleaned up what was wrong in there that he had put in there. The dirt, the filth, the nasty gods, the sacrifices and things that had been done there. He went and cleaned it and wiped it up and made it pure. Now, if we're going to look at Manasseh and know he had people killed, know that he had strange gods, know that he was wicked, and we see God would receive him, then how in the world we think God would receive us and we will clean up our temple? The strange gods that's in our life, the strange things in our life that's wicked that we once enjoyed and never repented of. We never got rid of some things in our life. Still got some stolen stuff that we know we shouldn't have. Still doing things we have no business doing. How dare we look at Manasseh and realize that he's an unlikely person to receive revival and think that well, if God did him, he'll do us, and not see that this man brought forth fruits meet for repentance. I'm amazed that people don't throw up his name to me when they say you can live in the kind of way you want to and God will forgive. Because when they bring up David's name, David ain't never done all the stuff Manasseh did. David had a man killed, a few people killed, numbered some people. But Manasseh, the Bible says he did worse than all the nation. That one man. You think about how wicked you are when you can by yourself do wickedly above all the nations that God drove out the land. And you find God. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Look at what he did in 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. Have any of us repaired our prayer life? Have any of us repaired our worship? Or do we just come to seeking truth? Is there any worship that takes place to God in our own home? I don't mean just singing a song and praying. I'm talking about the bowing of the knee. Worship comes from the word worship. That means we are bowing the knee to one that is over us, that sovereign, that deserves us bowing the knee to. People bow down to guys like Puff Daddy and they'll bow down to people that got plenty of money, like Oprah and Bill Gates, because they got money. But when we come out to the God of heaven, he's like, I can't bow. I got arthritis in my knee. My back hurt. I could talk to you, you know, one-on-one. I'll call you the man upstairs. I'll call you a higher power. But we can't deal with each other on a level where you can give me conditions and restrictions and boundaries for me to be blessed. That's how we treat God. But not this man. Truly, revival had taken place, and we see the fruits of his revival. It's taking place in his life. Let me finish 16. It says, he repaired the altars of the Lord and sacrificed thereof peace offerings, thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel in every way that he could. He tried to get it right. He started making sacrifices, you all. He started showing that death was worthy, because when he made his son pass through the fire, that was under the death penalty right there. When he shed innocent blood, he was under the death penalty. I don't even know if there was one commandment that Manasseh did not break. I don't think there was not one, because first when you break one, you break them all. But I believe individually he broke every one of the commandments. But here we see this man. He's now commanding Israel to serve the Lord God, because I know who he is and I see what power he has. More power than the devouring lion of Assyria. And I bow the knee to him and I'm making sacrifice, peace offerings. I want peace with you, God. I want to be at one with you, God. And whatever sacrifice it takes and makes in my life, I'll do it. Have we gotten to that place yet? Or we still think we're better than Manasseh was? Then he made thank offers. Did we ever just thank God for what he's done? Or we just take it for granted? I know sometimes I get up and forget to thank God for letting me get up. Now, I might do it later on in the day, but let it be a day when I get up and my back don't want to let me move. Ooh, we had to call it on the Lord. Lord, please just help me to be able to make it to work. God don't want to be used like that. Look at number 17. It says, nevertheless, the people did still sacrifice in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. I submit to you that although they didn't get rid of the high places, that if they had been sacrificed to another God right then, I believe Manasseh would have had them put to death. Because obviously, there was some rule that was being taken place, and Manasseh was taking his position as king the way he should have been taking it to start with. Look at this, number 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, they are written in the book of Kings. And then I come back and we finish up here in the Kings, verse number 14, I believe that's where we were. And again, it just says he built the walls outside of David on the west side. I'm reading in Chronicles. I have two Bibles open, and it's confusing me. Go ahead, Ann. What was it now? 2 Kings, chapter 21. And then I need to get back here, verse 16. Okay. And it says, Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood. We covered that. Until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, and doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? We've covered that. And Manasseh slept with his father and was buried, listen at this, in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Ammon his son reigned in his stead. Notice what happened. He did all of that, and what God did, or what the people did, they didn't honor him and bury him with other kings because of the life he had previously lived. They buried him somewhere else. I can't tell you that Manasseh went to heaven. I can't tell you that God has allowed him in his holy kingdom. I can tell you that I know he had been forgiven. I can tell you that I know he had been restored. I know he showed forth fruit for repentance. And I believe that this man obtained that life. I believe he obtained eternal life. But I'm telling you that the people that were there, they made a distinction in the burial that they gave him, versus the bear that he gave his father. And understand a lot of things that he had done was unable to be undone because of the fact. Once you start off with wickedness, once you start off as a father or a parent with wickedness, people will hold to wickedness quicker than they will take something new that's righteous. And then look at the next verse. Verse number 19 says, Amnon was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Hazrus of Jotba. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. That's the point that I'm making. We have another king on the scene, but who did he follow? He followed his prior daddy. He didn't follow the daddy that repented. He didn't follow the daddy that did righteously. He followed the daddy that was prior to him being beat down. Why? It was probably more excitement in it, more joy. The people probably buckled under you when he was like that. And it says in verse 21, and he walked in all the way his father walked in. He served idols that his father served and worshiped him. Where did he get these idols? They had removed the idols. Now that he's in charge, he decides, I want to do things my way. I don't want the restrictions of this God. This God that they're teaching seem like junk to me. And I submit to you that many people are not going to want our God. We ought to at least be presenting the truth. Because if we call ourselves presenting the truth and we're not, people will follow our wicked and our dastardly lead. If true revival takes place, it should be of such that when someone's going to be wicked, following us, our prior life, that they're indicted because they know that God did a reconstruction of who we are. And it says, verse 21, that he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, walked not in the way of the Lord, and the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew him in the king's house. Do you see what happened there? He started out with the same type of failures that his daddy did. He did not look at the judgment that God had done on all these other nations, including his daddy, and God slew him. The point is being made here, some people don't get to live and be beat down long enough to see that they need to make the change and have revival. Some people are just cut off. Some people are cut off before they ever make the change. It happens to the young and old as well as old. Look at what it says in verse 19. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years. That means at the age of 24, he was killed. He didn't get to reign 55 years like his daddy. His daddy reigned 55 years when he was 12 and he got his, and I mean he was 67. God didn't put up with his father that long. Now we can say that's not fair. God, why did you give his daddy that long and not give him that long? Well, once I had reiterated what was going on, and Manasseh learned the words to the sad song, you should have got it. You shouldn't have tried me like that. So those of us who keep looking at people and see how God allows certain ones to go on and on and on, and we feel like it's going to be the same for us, not necessarily so. Because both of them was worthy to be killed. But God used Manasseh as a good whipping boy to be an example that I can forgive. I can restore. Only if you really got your heart right when you repent, when you turn yourself back to me. I'm going to let Manasseh from now on be the person that a person can look at and say, you know, if God can do that for him, he can do it for me. But you got to learn that sad song. That sad song is just the same way you've been blessed, the same way God has done things for you. God can turn his back on you. And you will learn the conditions of abiding in God's love and favor. The conditions of abiding in God's love and favor is know what he wants and do it. Don't let nobody think that because you claim Jesus, that God has no conditions for you. That unconditional love is not found anywhere in the scripture. God always has conditions. Let's finish this up. And the people of the land slew all. Look at this now. I want to read 23 again, let you see what it says. The servants of Ammon conspired against him. They slew him in his own house. 24, and the people of the land slew all of them that conspired against the king, Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. There were some people that were so much willing not to go through this again. What we went through under your daddy, we're not going through it under you. And God allowed these wicked people to kill Ammon, and the people that killed them, they got killed. Because evidently it was like, we're not going to be like Israel. Israel would raise up and you kill, and you get to be a king and somebody kill you, and they get to be a king, they executed the one that killed Ammon. But yet, Ammon's dead. What are we going to do? Who are we going to be? We've seen a big revival in Israel with Hezekiah. Now we've seen a small revival, in one sense, on a bigger scale with Manasseh. Is there any of us in here that really know that God has put his hand on us and it's time for us to be restored? It's time for us to really turn our face to God and get our life right. Because if we can't see when things are going wrong with us, or when everything is working against us, it's the hand of God, we may never, ever repent and recognize God as God. And all we have left is a sad song. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you to help us to realize that your chastening, your judgment on others is for us to beware. Your chastening and judgment on us is for us to turn and bow down and repent. But Father, if we don't hear your word, if we can't humble our heart to you, Lord, whatever you do is righteous. Whatever you do is just. We ask you for the mind, Lord, to recognize you who you as who you are before you have to put it down on us so hard, and that we'll have to sing a sad song. Let our songs be songs of joy, praising your blessed name forevermore. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.